Hey guys, I'm Eric McLean.
And I'm Kelly Gramlich. It's time to talk some ACC sports.
Let's go!
Welcome in, everyone, and happy Friday here on the Gramlich and McLean podcast brought to you by Traeger Grills. We're going to give out some grades today and wrap up the ACC football season. It's going to be a lot of fun. I think Mac's going to be kind of a tough grader, I would think. Mac, how's it going?
Yeah, it's going well. As good as it can be when we're talking about the end of football season here. And you're right, I was a little bit hard, but also I felt it was just fair. And I think you got to judge people differently. And obviously, there's different standards. So yes. Someone, Clemson's, you know, B is somebody else's A plus. So I think that you have to look at it that way and think about it when we're going through these grades. Not going to be a ton of detail, but certainly enough for you guys to kind of understand why we graded each team where we did. But before we jump into our final football pod of the season, can I tell you guys quickly what I'm doing tonight, what I'm preparing right now? I'm making bacon wrapped jalapeno cream cheese stuffed duck poppers on the Traeger. Guys, it's going to be so good. Listen, Traeger is the only wood-fired outdoor grill that smokes, grills, barbecues, and even bakes. I used to think that there was, you know, you had to have a different grill for a different thing. That's not the case. Traeger does everything, and it does it better. That's why Traeger is the official grill of Gramlich and McLean. And honestly, guys, the fact is, nothing beats the flavor of food cooked over pure wood fire. Find your local Traeger dealer today. Go visit www.traegergrills.com. Find your Traeger dealer.
I am now starving. That sounds so good. Mac, this is something I'm going to have to keep in mind. I'm going to have to be full when we record these podcasts because every single Traeger ad is going to make me hungry.
You're
going to
be hearing about something that I'm firing up, literally, over here on the Traeger. It's that good.
Khaki is lucky. She's a very lucky woman. Okay, guys, so we're going to do something a little different today because it's our last ACC football episode. We're going to be handing out some grades. Now, it won't be the last you hear of ACC football. Once we get past the March Madness and crown a champion in college basketball on both the men's and women's side, we'll get back into football with some off-season topics. And we're also going to hit on baseball and softball and have some guests on that are experts in those areas. But let's start with all 15 this year, then cousin Notre Dame is leaving. They're out. All 15 teams, we're going to give them grades. A, B, C, D. There may be a team or two that gets an F. Yikes. We'll see how that goes. So we're just going to go alphabetically through these teams. And first up is Boston College. Mac, why don't you start us with a grade for BC?
Come on. So I think BC had a pretty good year. Now, you look at the record, 6-5. This is a team that was, you know, not happy with winning seven games, going to a bowl game. That's kind of where they wanted to move away from. But when you look at what Boston College did this year, what they were able to do and where they're projecting, I'm giving them a B-. And so I love the instant upgrades that we saw. Number one at quarterback, I mean, getting a guy like Phil Jurkovec to come in, who's going to be a top 15 NFL draft pick whenever he leaves, and just the ability that he gave you to completely change your offense. I mean, these guys are throwing the ball all over the yard. It's almost like a pro air raid style offense. I think the defense made big strides, and I think depending on how long Coach Halfley's going to be here, I mean, look out for the production that we're going to start seeing on the NFL level. I mean, we might be talking about a new DBU if Coach Halfley is here, you know, 5-6 years, because I think that's just how good he is. If you're a DB recruit and you're looking at where you want to go, where do you want to be developed, and you look at Coach Halfley's track record, it's tremendous. So I'm just saying, you know, I'm not getting paid by BC. I'm not on their recruiting staff. I'm just saying facts are facts. So, and the only negative, the only reason that it's a B- for me, and maybe even could have been a C+, was that the offensive line took a big step backward. This was an offensive line I thought coming into this season was going to be one of the best in the country, for sure the best in the ACC. And, you know, I obviously didn't go through and grade every game of every offensive line, but I think they took a step back, a pretty significant step back. And now you look at it, scheme change, different guys playing different positions. We have, you know, a left guard who's one of the best guards in the country, in my opinion, and Zion Johnson. You move him to left tackle, and it's just, it's different. It's a lot of things that they had to adjust. Hopefully we're going to get a full winter. We're going to get a full spring, full summer, where we can, you know, have some cohesion and figure it out. And, you know, let's move Zion back inside. He's coming back. You know, he committed to you guys and wants to get better, help this program. Let's put him back inside and let's get it going, BC.
You heard it here first. That's Mac's suggestion. And I think some of the O-line play was reflected in the fact that BC really couldn't run the ball. Now, are those things connected, and who knows if one is the cause? I get that, but that was an issue for Boston College. I like that grade, Mac. B minus, over 500 in Jeff Hafley's first season. Not too much to complain about. You pushed Clemson. You kind of pushed Notre Dame if you didn't turn the ball over 17,000 times against Notre Dame. So a lot to build on for BC, and the expectations weren't super high. So to finish over 500, pretty solid start for Jeff Hafley. The next one up, Mac, is Clemson. Now, you're going to let me do this one. I wonder if you're going to disagree. So my grade for Clemson this year is an A-. That might be too generous, because if you look at expectations, we know expectations were sky high. But they still won the ACC. They still made the college football playoff, their sixth straight playoff. I'm not going to give a team a B that made the playoff. You're one of the four best teams in the country. It's very difficult for me to do. Losing two games, that's not something that Clemson fans are used to. Some of the struggles throughout the year defensively, especially in the playoff, left some Clemson fans scratching their head. Moving forward, there's a lot of unknowns, but overall, in a year in which Trevor Lawrence got COVID and missed two games, in which the defense continued to have injury after injury after injury and still found a way to come back and beat Notre Dame, I think they still deserve an A. And the main reason is this, and Amari Rodgers touched on this on our Wednesday pod, they saved the dignity of the conference. Some might say, no, NC State did that when they beat Liberty. Sure, that was the first time. But the fact that Clemson did not let Notre Dame waltz into the league, win it, and dip, as Amari said, I feel like that deserves a ton of credit. So I'm going to give Clemson an A-. Mac, is that too nice?
I don't think so. I mean, like you said, any team that's getting to a playoff, any team that has just won their sixth straight championship and an ACC championship, I think that's a great grade. And I think it's being able to separate, you know, expectation versus, okay, it's 10-2 in a COVID-filled year. That's a great year. It's a great season. So for some people, that's an A++++, whatever. That's 100%. And, you know, for Clemson, just the standard is higher. There's no shot that you deserve anything less than an A- if you're going to the playoff, you're winning a championship. How about next up, a team that, you know, just hurt me time and time again?
I feel it's best that you handle this one.
Yeah,
I really do.
I'll take it. I'll take it. The Duke Blue Devils, a team that I thought maybe a little bit under the radar, maybe a team that could figure it out with Coach Cutcliffe calling plays. You have a quarterback who I've seen up close and personal do some really good things. And it didn't happen. And it was bad. It was really bad. And so I'm giving Duke an F. And if there's an F-, I don't know if you can even give anything lower than an F.
I think we could do an F-.
Okay, Duke, you got it. Congratulations. F-, because you led the world in turnovers for the second year in a row now. That there is a massive margin of Duke and then everybody else in regards to who has turned the ball over. And so it's just not good. And then Chase leaves. He's going to App State. You know, I just don't know what this Duke team is going to look like next year. They are the only ACC team that is not returning any type of starting experience at quarterback. And coming off the 2 years that we've seen from them in a row, that ain't good. So, Duke, I guess the good thing is that you can only go up, but maybe not. We might see a worse product next year.
I agree with that. I don't think Duke passed the season. And I'm not referring to their passing struggles. They really should run it more in general, because they ain't passed this season. Okay. On to Florida State next. Florida State finished 3-6. They were picked near more the middle of the pack. They finished 13th. FSU had so many off the field issues. When you talk about the drama on Twitter between Marvin Wilson and Coach Norvell, or parents on Twitter doing stuff, and then so many people opting out, so many important players opting out, plus injury after injury after injury, not playing games, whatever your stance is on all of that. They had a lot of issues not playing Virginia, not playing Wake, not playing Clemson. So the off-the-field stuff was pretty bad. The on-the-field product was also pretty bad. There were a few highlights for FSU. Beating North Carolina, we can't ignore that. They actually did that. Sometimes it feels like a dream. They beat North Carolina. And then towards the end of the year, post the Clemson debacle, they played with more effort against Duke. They blew out Duke. You just gave Duke an F. That doesn't really mean much. But there was a little effort towards the end. And then there's been some momentum in the offseason, but that should not count with the McKenzie Milton stuff. So because of the North Carolina win and because expectations were pretty low, I'm giving Florida State a C minus. I wasn't going to give them an F. I didn't give them a D just because I felt like they ended on the right foot with the Duke game. But Mac's kind of laughing at me here. Was that C? Mac, I'm good cop, you're bad cop.
Yeah, that's right. I'm bad cop. But I think it's justified, right? Okay. I think a C minus is justified because of the UNC victory. I think that there's a lot of weight behind that. I think it has to count for something. Florida State, if it was me grading you and you didn't have that, it's an F minus, two in a row. But I think winning matters. And I think the fact that, you know, like you said, finish with some effort. We saw a pulse at the end of the season. I'm fine with a C minus.
It was still year one. It's just year one for Norvell, and he inherited a dumpster fire.
That's right. That's right. And a lot of stuff. I mean, so many things to deal with. It was an uphill battle, and you know, I don't know if they ever got over the hump. I think there's still a lot that has to be done at Florida State. But like you said, C minus. I think that's fair. Moving on to the flats in Georgia Tech, a team that went 3-7. I had them 15 in the ACC preseason. I thought that this was going to be just more growing pains. I didn't know if Georgia Tech was going to be willing to play a freshman at quarterback right away, a guy that I thought could help you, and sure enough, he did. So for them to finish 3-7, I had them 11th in my final rankings. Guys are competing. We have a couple of freshmen I mentioned in Sims. And then a running back offensive line that played really special. And I think depending on who decides to come back for these guys, Kelly, Georgia and the transfer portal, I think they're kind of closing in on Miami, is who I think Miami's kind of the king of the transfer portal. I think Georgia Tech has done some really good things. If they can, you know, get some of those guys, have some other key freshmen. Now, are they going to be as good as Sims and Gibbs and these guys and make that big of an impact? Maybe, but if they can find a sliver of that, look out for GT. Look out for Coach Collins. These guys are going to start sneaking up on some people, and I think they're at a focal point. So this next season, you know, I'm expecting 500, six wins, a little bit better, and looking for a bowl game. So with that in mind, I gave Georgia Tech a B.
The expectations are so important with Georgia Tech. Because normally you'd look at 3-7 and you'd think, okay, that's not a B. But we have to remember that they're undergoing a complete transformation of their program, and it's very hard to do that and to compete right away. And just the fact that they didn't finish last, that they unequivocally were not the worst team in the ACC. There's a few teams that I can definitely put below them. I like that B because there's a lot of room for improvement, but you also showed some significant improvement this season, did more than people thought. Next up is Louisville. Whew. Louisville, I had them in my top five. Did you pick them four, Mac, or were they picked fourth overall?
I had them fourth.
Okay, you had them four. I know they were.
I think they were four or five. I think they were picked by everybody to be four or five.
Right. And they finished 12th. They finished 4-7. They got two good wins, and they weren't great necessarily in terms of when they got them, but the names sound pretty good. But because it was later in the season, people might not respect them as much. They blew out FSU and they blew out Wake Forest. But then on the flip side, they got blown out by a lot of teams. Miami came in there and absolutely walked the dog on Louisville. They lost to Georgia Tech. That was very concerning. They had some off-the-field issues too. Let's not forget the Scott Satterfield situation. That may have been more drama just in itself than all of Florida State's drama combined with how the Louisville fan base react. I will say this. Malik Cunningham, I thought, got better, and he shows a lot of promise for next year. We had some people commenting Malik Cunningham in our quarterback poll, Mac.
That's right.
I know
that's
Louisville right. Fans are very excited about him. 64% completion this year, 2,600 yards, 20 touchdowns, 12 picks. But let's stop there on the picks. That was the other big issue for Louisville, and really the big reason why they were 4-7. They were minus 12 in the turnover margin. So they took a step back overall. I think some of our expectations with Louisville might have been misplaced hype. We thought, okay, year two. But Eric Wood talked to us about this on the pod, that they snuck up on a lot of people in year one, and year two, people were more prepared for what was coming. I gave them a C because I felt like our expectations were a little unfair on Louisville in the first place. What do you think, Mac?
I like that the way you justified. I think that if that's what you think, if that's how you graded it, for sure, because I'm giving them, guess what, another F. That's my third
F.
Because it was just, it wasn't the same team. And I know they lost a lot. I know they figuratively lost a massive human being in Mekhi Becton at left tackle. But, I mean, come on, guys. We couldn't do anything on offense. You had a three-headed monster coming back.
True.
And they just couldn't deliver. They weren't the same team. And whether that's sneaking up on people, but if that's all you can do is muster up 1 year where nobody knows what you're going to do, and are we going to get 4-7 for the rest of your career there? I mean, what's going to be the excuse next year? And so for me, it's just, I don't think our expectations were too high. I think 4 or 5 is where they should have been. I think an 8-9 win team should have been without question. So when you look at it and you see the production that we got, there was not very much improvement at all from the defensive side of the ball. We knew that they couldn't stop the run a year ago, and nothing changed. And so for me, when you add on the off-the-field stuff and the way that it was all just handled, that's why I gave them that grade. And that's the last, I think, disagreement I have with you. But I just expected a lot more from Louisville.
The other part with Louisville, too, is they switched the schedule around so they avoided Clemson. So they didn't have that, what you would guess, automatic loss.
And that's I thought, helped them. That's what I thought helped them. And to
for
see
their expectations,
that,
yeah.
Yeah. And so that was where I was like, all right, come on, guys. Like, what are we doing? Don't play UNC. Don't play Clemson.
What if we give them a D?
No. You have a C. That you're fine. You're fine. That's your grade. That's why I gave them to you. I didn't want to be too hard, but here I am anyway, dropping the hammer.
Louisville, make this easier for us next year.
That would be nice.
You can control this.
That's right.
You can do better. All right, we've got a few more teams to get to, but we know, guys, it's the start of a new year. You're busy, you're on the go, and you want an easy, delicious boost, but not by just overloading on caffeine. You want Sunshine. Sunshine has the delicious energy flavors, plus essential electrolytes, minerals, and vitamins to keep you feeling your best. The best part, Sunshine only has 70 milligrams of caffeine sourced from organic green coffee beans. That's no more caffeine than a cup of coffee. So forget the boost and crash cycle. You want feel-good energy. Get Sunshine today at your local Publix, or even better, go online at drinkthesunshine.com. Use our code ACC10 at checkout to save 10% on your order. I had the ginger berry today. Mac, I got to tell you, and did we have this conversation? Initially, with the ginger berry, I don't love ginger, so I didn't necessarily love it, but my mom's obsessed with it, and she had, I don't know, 50 of them in our pantry when I was home for Christmas. So I started drinking them, and I thought, ooh, I do like this. So I had one today.
It tastes like a flavored ginger ale, and I'm a big ginger ale fan, and it's, I don't know why, I kind of avoided it at first, and I was really big on the tangerine or the clementine,
yes,
excuse me, and the
clementine
blueberry
twist.
And I was like, I don't know about this, and then I tasted it, and I was like, actually, this might be my new favorite. So a lot of great flavors, guys. You really can't go wrong. Another team that kind of couldn't go wrong this year was Miami. And I really liked what we saw from them, and the turnaround, the offense, the getting the quarterback, De'Aaron King, going in the transfer portal, getting a couple of stud defensive ends that are going to be, you know, top 3-round picks, and really what was excited about what we saw from Miami. They went 8-3. Now, of course, that blowout loss by North Carolina, certainly something that we're all kind of scratching our heads about. King gets hurt in the bowl game. But we saw Miami fight, and we saw them not just give up, which I thought was really, really going to happen. And at the end of the day, to me, it's all about De'Aaron King. The fact that he decided to come back. I know he's injured, but he's going to fight back from it. Hopefully we see an Amari Rodgers-type recovery where he gets back very quickly, faster, stronger, all those different things. But I think it's on top of that, it's the other guys coming back too. It's the Brevin Jordans, the Will Mallorys, the Cameron Harris. I think seeing all of those guys like recommit. I mean, they're basically committing again to the U and saying, we believe in this program. We think we're close to doing something. Bubba Bolden on the defensive side of the ball. So I think that that's something that everybody should be excited about offensively. I mean, I can't talk about it enough, but the addition of, you know, Rhett Lashley as offensive coordinator and then getting King as well, it couldn't have been better. I mean, the way that they had so much synergy, the way that he was throwing the ball downfield, the plays being called, the run game, the pass game. I'm very excited to see this Canes offense in 21. And when they can have, again, I'm probably going to say this 100 more times, a complete offseason to work together, I think there's a lot to be jacked up about. Now, defensively, maybe a little bit different story. I think if, you know, like I said earlier, the Kings of the transfer portal, if they can go out and get some key pieces that they're losing that are going on to the NFL draft, and kind of restock there, I think there's a chance, but, you know, certainly something to pay attention to. We've seen a little bit of change on the defensive side of the ball, some coaches not being brought back. So when it all's said and done, I'm sure the Canes defense is going to be fine. That's what Manny does. But that's the one part that I'm really paying attention to is the Canes on defense.
Maybe I'm a little harder on Miami.
Kelly, I just realized I didn't tell my grade. I gave Miami a B+.
Oh, you didn't say it?
I just ran right through it and didn't even say the grade. B+, okay. Miami, congrats.
B+.
Now tell me why you're a little bit on
I don't know. Maybe a B or B-. I think they're still in the B range because 8-3, got to give them credit for that. I get it. Played in a decent bowl game, but every good team they played in the regular season, they played it tough and close with Oklahoma State, with Derek King getting hurt, give them credit for that. But North Carolina, blown out. Clemson, blown out. It's tough to swallow, I think, if you're a Miami fan. So B+, B, something in that range, just because on the biggest stage, you didn't show up. And that's still a concern for Miami. They still aren't breaking through that stereotype of Miami can win 8 games every year because they beat up on all the lesser teams, and then they can't beat a good team. I want to see Miami push through that.
And I'll tell you why. I did a B+, because this is about what I expected in this first year from Miami. I expected them to be, you know, around that fourth spot. I expected the offense to make improvements. So I didn't want to penalize them for doing exactly what I thought. That's why it wasn't an A for me. And certainly still a ton of, you know, room to grow and to improve, no doubt about it.
All right, NC State, give this team an A. Put an A on their paper. All right. NC State won 8 games in a year where they only played 12, and also a year where their quarterback got hurt in the 5th game. And we've already seen Bailey Hawkman has entered the transfer portal.
Again,
right. He's transferring again.
Where are we going, Bailey? Let's go. Let's pack it up and go somewhere.
Back to FSU. Devin Leary is their guy. All right. Devin Leary is their guy, and they lost him in a brutal injury against Duke. How different would their season be if they didn't lose him? Would they win the bowl game against Kentucky? I would have to think so. They saved the ACC's dignity before Clemson did when they beat Liberty. They're one interception away from maybe beating Miami. They played Miami very tough in Raleigh. And then when they lost to Kentucky, they didn't have a good amount of key pieces, including Aleem McNeil and Peyton Wilson. They finished top 5. I'm going to give NC State credit for that. It doesn't happen every year. I'm happy for them. They stayed somewhat healthy, which they did not the year before. A for NC State.
And I have zero quarrel with that. That's where I would have ranked NC State as well. I thought that, you know, blew past all expectations of this year, and was very impressed to see it. The way they did it, how it was different each and every time. The thing with NC State looking at next year is just paying attention to who's coming back. You know, that's going to be the key defensively. Again, I've said it all year long. You look at who they have, you look at the roster, the depth chart, and you're like, that is a great defense. Statistically, not great. So can we build with those linebackers? I think that's the core. If we can get all three of those guys back, I think with Moore and Peyton leading the way up front, I'm very excited to see. But, you know, they have a decision to make, and we'll see if they take advantage of, you know, that extra year. I think Peyton is young enough. He might have to come back, but – you know, other than that, what's it going to look like? How about North Carolina? Let's stay in the Tar Heel state, move to the Tar Heels. Preseason, I had these guys ranked number 2. I had huge expectations for North Carolina. I thought the offense was going to really take unbelievable strides. I thought that we were going to see them be one of the most impressive offenses in the country. And guess what? That's kind of what they did. You know, although there was those disappointing games, 8-4, you know, with two or three of them that you're just like, man, why did we lose those? How did we lose those?
The FSU game.
Yeah, the FSU game and Virginia to me were just shocking. And so
should have been 10-2.
Yeah, exactly. So when you look at it, how they lost those, but I still think the strides that this team has made is very impressive. Again, I mentioned it, one of the most explosive offenses in the country, led by the best running back duo in the country, two guys moving on to the NFL. They were a lot of fun to watch, you know, all year long. I think the biggest key is going to be for next year is going to be, can we match that production that we saw a year ago? So many guys leaving, two wide receivers in De'Ami Brown and Daz Newsome that were fantastic. Obviously, a pair of 1,000-yard rushers. We got a little bit of a glimpse of it, a little preview, if you will, in the Orange Bowl. And I think they're going to be okay. I think the wide receiver position actually might be a lot better than what people think. But the biggest thing that I'm looking at for this UNC team in the offseason or moving into to maybe even preseason is the running back spot and who's going to step up. Because there were some pieces that we even saw during the year that we did not see in the Orange Bowl, whether it was COVID, whether it got, guys were injured. You know, I'm not sure about those backups that didn't play, but I think there is a big time journey ahead for the running back position. I'm excited to see this defense next year. I think when you look at guys like Grimes, who should have been in high school this past season, to see his progression at DB. And then we saw big Asante, number 7 at linebacker, who is going to, you know, kind of replace Chaz Surratt, played outstanding. So I think that UNC is going to be able to win some games defensively, which is shocking when you look at them these past two seasons. That's why I'm really excited about them. I gave them an A-.
I'm with you on all that, Mac. I think that was a great breakdown of the Tar Heels and excited to see what they can do next year. Let's go to Notre Dame, our cousin. This is the last time we'll ever speak of you.
The first and last grade you'll ever
have
to do
for Notre Dame. They finished 10-2. Look, if we were given out this grade on November 8th, I would have given them an A++++++++, the best grade you could give anyone. But the biggest reason why I'm giving Notre Dame an A- and not an A is even though they made the playoff, like I said, I can't give a team that made the playoff anything but an A. They're still going to get credit for an A, whatever that is, whatever your GPA system was at your school. But they got blown out by healthy Clemson. That's the difference. I can't give them anything better than that because the Clemson win, it still matters. It still happened. I'm not trying to take it away. But when you played a healthy Clemson team with Trevor Lawrence and Skowski and Tyler Davis and all those guys that we've talked about, you got blown out. Would you get blown out every time? Probably not. But in that situation, in that game, nothing went right for you. You got blown out. You still beat North Carolina, which I think is a very good win. Held Alabama to 31 points. I mean, that's something. So I'm going to give Notre Dame an A-.
I have no problems with that at all. And I think very, very, you know, earned. I think that's what they earned. Let's look at Pitt, a team that, you know, really did kind of what I thought. They finished, so I had them ranked 7 in the preseason. They finished at 7, 6-5 record, but really it was just kind of an average year. You know, I think that I had a little bit of an expectation they could be a dark horse and be a team that just gives people problems. I mean, you see the defensive line, they played amazing all year long, was able to really do some special things with Rashad Weaver, Patrick Jones. But those guys are leaving, and so we're going to have to fill something and look at it. What are they going to be able to do next year offensively? I mean, the man, the myth, the legend, Kenny freaking Pickett is coming back for his 100th season of college football. I'm so excited, and I think there has to be some optimism looking at Pitt next year. If they can get some of these offensive linemen to come back, some of the wide receivers, I think Pitt has a real good chance next year to again be maybe a team that I thought they would this year. With all that in mind, 6-5, I gave them a C+.
Pitt had a tough year. Kenny Pickett was hurt. They lost so many close games. They should have been better than 6-5. So I see why you gave them a C+. Jordan Addison, a guy to watch next year for
Baller.
Pittsburgh. I've seen him on Heisman odds. He's near the bottom,
which is incredible.
But I've seen him.
He's on there. You got to be special to be on there.
All right, next up is Syracuse. Oh, sweet, sweet Syracuse. All right, they went 1-10, but here's the deal, and we've talked about this on the pod, Mac. They played hard. They tried. This is a participation trophy grade of a D, okay? You tried hard. You played 11 games. You were really tough to watch at times. You almost beat NC State, if not for terrible time management at the end of the game. And you had a bunch of injuries and opt-outs, but they tried hard. I love Dino. He's the best. He's so likable. I'm going to give Syracuse a D.
Can we put a plus on there with how they fought? They fought really hard. Can we just, okay, can I fight sure. for that? This is me you, going to the professor's office hours and just saying, look, man, I tried. Please help me out. Give me a plus right here, even though I'm still failing.
We'll give him the plus.
Can you, do D's get degrees? I don't think so. I think it's just C's. So Pitt or Syracuse, excuse me, you're going to have to repeat and do a little bit better. How about Virginia? 5-5. I thought, let me tell you guys this. I thought Virginia was going to be very bad this year. I mean, you lost Superman. You lost Mr. Do-It-All in Bryce Perkins. I didn't think they were going to be able to do anything offensively. You lost a ton of great wide receiver production. I really thought that they were going to struggle, and yet they didn't. They were creative. They were able to use a bunch of different guys in a bunch of different positions to make things happen. And I really think if Brennan Armstrong is healthy, doesn't get hurt, they're 8-2. They're 7-3. I think he's that dynamic of a player. I think he makes Virginia that much better. So with what I thought coming in, where they were and what they look like outside of injury, I'm giving Virginia a B-, which might be crazy, but I just think it was so far past my expectations that I have to reward it.
I like that. And here's the thing with Virginia as well. Not just Brennan Armstrong, but our guy Charles Snowden got hurt too. He was the heart and soul of that defense. They were playing all different dudes at quarterback. They were just fighting through. And then they got hot later in the season and continued to push through. I you got to give Virginia credit. And then that brings us to Virginia Tech. Look, Virginia Tech went 5-6. It was a very disappointing year for the Hokies. It almost got Fuente fired. It was very close to getting Fuente fired. And at other schools, 5-6 might not get you this grade, but this is Virginia Tech. We have to have some pride, Mac. This is not Joe Schmo school. Frankly, and this might be offensive to some, this is not Virginia. It's Virginia Tech, okay?
Virginia fans, she did not mean that. She's taking it back.
But I did. Like that, we expect more from Virginia Tech. So at 5-6,
correct.
You might say, okay, 5-5 Virginia, B minus. I'm giving 5-6 Virginia Tech a C plus. You don't get a B for that season. And it maybe should even be lower. The reason I have the plus on there is because they did beat UVA. They salvaged the year. They were able to beat their rival in a season in which, honestly, Virginia probably should have beaten them. But Virginia Tech found a way. They actually blew them out. They sent a message. So even though they struggled throughout the year, had some puzzling games, lost to Liberty, they beat Virginia. That's what a lot of their fans will remember. The QB position, though, had no stability. I don't know what the future is. It doesn't look very bright. And then, of course, without Khalil Herbert, I don't know what you do next year. Because if you don't get Khalil Herbert in the portal before this season, you probably go 0-11. So Khalil Herbert is responsible for this entire C+, the entire thing. So congrats. And Divine Diablo, who's a baller and has one of the best names in college football.
I love it. And I completely agree with you. I think that the Virginia win gives you that little bump, gives you not a C, not a C minus. I think that's very fair. Let's move on to the last team in the ACC. Again, when you talk about expectations, what I had for this team in Wake Forest, very small. I thought they were going to finish at the very bottom of the conference at 14, I guess one plus one from the bottom. I thought these guys were going to have big time problems, similar to Virginia. When you look on the offensive side of the ball, they had to replace like their top five receivers from a year ago and Jamie Newman. So Jamie said, hey, look, I'm out, guys. I'm going to Georgia. I'm not going to actually play there. I'm going to opt out just so that the ESPN graphics, the Senior Bowl, these different things can say Georgia and not Wake. And maybe that helps me in the draft. But I thought that was weird. I think Sam Hartman, excuse me, played well. And until the bowl game where, you know, he just thought that his receivers were wearing red and white, he played outstanding.
It's not even close to black and gold. You know, like it's not even like you were playing a silver team.
That was bad. That was bad.
Red, Sam.
I mean, to see four straight picks on four straight possessions, I don't think I've ever seen that before. But you look at the running backs, I think Christian Beal-Smith, CBS, Kenneth Walker III, I think we have to put their name now at the most dynamic running back duo in the conference. You know, now that the two backs from UNC are gone, I think it's them. So I think when you look at that, the wide receiver position that was so depleted, guys stepped up, guys thrived. Ja'Quari Robinson, he's emerging as one of the best wide receivers in the country, you know, rated by PFF at number one at various times throughout this season. Donovan Green, Taylor Morin, super solid 2-3 options. So I think when you look at Wake Forest, when you look at all that they have coming back, they have a chance to be historically good next season. So when you see what they did this year, I know it's 4-5, but where I had them, it was even going to be worse than that. And of course, they didn't get to play a couple of games. I'm giving them a B+ to finish this season.
I agree. Without Sage Surratt, with Jamie Newman leaving, expectations were low. COVID ravaged them. They had a whole, they were hot. They had COVID. They had to stop. So that was a mess too. I like that grade for Wake. Let me run through these real fast. Here are the grades we gave alphabetically. Boston College, B-, Clemson, A-, Duke, F-, or really just an F. I don't know if you can do an F-. Florida State, C-, Georgia Tech, B, Louisville, C, maybe a little lower, but C for now. Miami, B+, NC State, A, North Carolina, A-, Notre Dame, A-, Pittsburgh, C+, Syracuse, D+ for effort, Virginia, B-, Virginia Tech, C+, and Wake Forest, B+. There you go. Some of y'all are repeating a grade. I'll just tell you that.
Who would have thought that at the end of this year, even listening to this podcast throughout the season, that NC State would be our highest grade?
That's
would
insane.
Be the valedictorian, if you will, of the ACC season. It's tremendous to see that. I mean, just kind of, it kind of goes about and tells you everything you need to know about their entire season and how they were able to do things on top of the expectations coming in. But Kelly, I just want to reflect quickly on this season. I think the fact that we even played is just, we have a lot to be grateful for. We have a lot to be thankful for. The leadership of the ACC and seeing what Commissioner Swofford was able to get to this moment in his last season. I mean, really going out on a high note, probably a note that he did not think he would ever have to experience in his entire time as a commissioner. But I think the future is very bright. I think when you look at next year, the ACC is going to have the best quarterbacks in the country, and it won't be even close. There'll be a lot of other positions we'll dive into as we get closer to the time. But, man, it was a great season and cannot wait for next year's.
Well said, Mac. I cannot wait for next year either. So many great quarterbacks. I'll just add a salute to the student athletes. And we'll do this when basketball season ends too. But we just had Amari Rogers on. We had Charles Snowden on, two guys that were in the middle of it. And you and I, Mac, just we can't imagine what they've gone through to play this year, to get tested all the time, to sacrifice, to be away from their families, all these types of things. And we salute them. We're grateful. We're thankful that we had stuff to talk about. Sports kept many people in this country sane. It gave them some hope as we got back into them in the middle of the year. And so thanks to the student athletes and what they've done. It's been a pleasure to cover you guys. And Mac and I know that there's so many things you learn from your time as a student athlete. I really hope and I believe that when these players look back on this season, they'll be grateful for it. They'll have learned some valuable lessons, as we all have from 2020.
No doubt about it. We're so thankful for them and being able to fight this good fight, play this season and get through it. We're also very thankful for you guys listening all season long. We're transitioning to basketball. We're a basketball conference. Let's go. It's going to be a lot of fun to talk about the women and the men in this great conference that are putting it on each and every night. Like Kelly said, hey guys, if you haven't already, go to iTunes, subscribe to the podcast, drop us a little 5-star rating, a little review. It's always great to hear from y'all. We would really appreciate that. But until next time, we'll see y'all.